Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, breaking glass everywhere. If you haven't seen it, if you're a Jet fan, you're probably going to be very excited. We've just learned from Adam Schefter that the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, are trading edge rusher Hassan Reddick to the Jets for a conditional third-round pick. If he plays a certain number of snaps, 2/3% and gets 10 sacks, something along that lines. We haven't seen the full details of this trade yet. It will be a second-rounder. So it's a conditional third-rounder, could be converted into a second-rounder for the Eagles trading Hassan Reddick to the New York Jets. I mean, this is a humongous, I won't say upgrade, but it's a big deal. Bryce Huff had made himself into an every down player. He was an effective edge rusher last year, double digit sacks, as we all know. He walked in free agency and went to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, however, were now stacked on that side of the ball, and they in turn traded Hassan Reddick to the New York Jets. He's bounced around, interestingly, the last couple of years, but he's been great wherever he's been.
Yeah, he's a dog.
He's absolutely. And so this is a great signing, or a great trade, I should say, for the New York Jets.
And it
replaces a big deal.
What the hell was that? Was that Evan?
Yeah, maybe Evan heard that from his seat. As he watches the Mets get one hit, he gets this. By the way, Teak, this is from Schefter, too. Hassan Reddick does not have a new deal with the Jets and is now entering the last year of his contract.
That's
if the Jets don't extend him and he leaves in free agency, the Jets would get a compensatory pick.
Right. That's all. I mean, it's so this is likely the Eagles not wanting to extend Hassan Reddick. Just wasn't part of their current and or future plans, and so they trade him because they feel like they've replaced him with Bryce Huff, and they hope that, at least Hassan Reddick hopes, that the Jets now will give him a long-term deal to end his career. Because, I mean, he's bounced around a little bit these last couple of years, but he's still a really good player.
And Teak, if you want to play the conspiracy theory game, we'll play it right now. So, there was a report, not really a report. Colleen Wolf was talking on her podcast. This was late Wednesday night. I was actually on the air when it happened. She was talking about how she heard from a reliable source that Bobby Sala, Robert Sala, got into it with Woody Johnson at the meetings, and it was a little bit awkward. Woody Johnson the next day went on Twitter and was like, yeah, no, there's no truth to that. And then Colleen had to come out later and said, yeah, I've heard from other people, and you know, I take it back, whatever. It wasn't what I made it out to be. And look, I think it was Charlie Sheen that said, I would deny rumors, but they're all true. So I'm sure there was some truth to that. And maybe now you see a move like this, perhaps the offseason and adding all these offensive players, maybe Robert Saleh's like, dude, I need some more dogs. I need some more guys on defense. Can you get me somebody? And then here comes this trade a day later.
You might not be wrong, because we know what the Jets, I almost said Eagles, but we know what the Jets have done this offseason. It's been left tackle, it's right tackle, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, respectively, and then John Simpson at left guard. Then you bring in Mike Williams. Tyrod Taylor you sign as your backup. So it's all been offense. And you know why it's been offense? Because their defense has been fantastic. But if you don't score points, they're not winning.
And you got to please Aaron Rodgers. That's not shade. You just have to. You got to get guys around him to put up points.
You have to do that. Because if you don't score points, regardless of how good your defense is, like we saw last year, they're going to get fired. So they had to address the offensive deficiencies and find another wide receiver, a bigger, not really a blazing target, but you don't really need that because you have Garrett Wilson. But Mike Williams is a really big targeted wide receiver. I think he'll be great with Aaron Rodgers. So you had to do those things. But we know Robert Saleh is a defensive guy.
Yeah.
Right? He earned his stripes in San Francisco, where all they did was draft defense, 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 layer on defense. All right, that guy walks. We got someone else that we drafted 2 years ago. We're fine. And so you could tell he's always wanted defense. And I'm not saying that they were arguing over that, but clearly something moved in the side of Robert Saleh because he got one of the really good edge rushers in the NFL in Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, when I first heard about that story and because like I said, I was on the air, my first initial reaction to it was, I'm assuming if there was a fight and it got awkward, it was about Zach Wilson. Because Woody Johnson's the only guy on this planet that thinks Zach Wilson can play. And Woody came out this week and said, well, if we don't trade Zach Wilson, which by the way, you're never trading Zach Wilson. No one is trading for Zach Wilson. Justin Fields, got a six-round pick. You're not getting squat for Zach Wilson.
No.
And he goes, we're not going to release him. So he can't quit Zach Wilson. I don't know what the hell they have him doing there. And if he's your third string quarterback with Aaron Rodgers, who's now injury prone and coming off a major injury, and he's not Benjamin Button, he's getting older in a worse way, and you have Tyrod Taylor, who gets hurt a lot, we could be in a scenario where Zach Wilson's playing football games. So my initial thought, Teak, was they were arguing about Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Perhaps they were arguing about personnel. Look, I need more defenders. And now here we are a couple days later, and the Jets, and if you're just tuning in, you're coming back from the Met game. By the way, Mets one hit, 3-1. They lose the home opener opening day here. There is some good news if you're a Jet fan, because they make a massive trade for Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, they are so deep now in their edge rushers. Obviously, Jermaine Johnson, who they drafted 2 years ago. Michael Clemens was also drafted later round, fourth rounder a couple years ago as well. Will McDonald last year. John Franklin Myers is still here. Like they're heavy. And now you add Hassan Reddick. They have options on the edge. And I guess it's kind of where football is going these days. And it's really the role that Bryce Huff played last year for the Jets, where he was a situational pass rusher. You could slide someone else inside who also had edge rushing ability, and you put him on a guard, right? Who's not used to the speed or the maneuverability of an edge rusher. Now he's down at a three technique on a guard, and it gives you an advantage if you can scheme it correctly. And so I think that's in Robert's mind why he wants these defensive linemen, edge rushers, so you have versatility on how to attack quarterbacks. We know what the football is, right? Have a top-end quarterback and have guys that can get after the quarterback. So huge trade for the Jets, getting in Hassan Reddick, who was on the last year of his deal. I mean, hopefully if he produces and performs, that the Jets maybe make this a long-term deal for Hassan Reddick. I'm sure that's what he would want, because it was not going to get paid in Philadelphia. That's the only reason that you trade him. But now the Jets defense feels like they got a little bit of a piece of the pie of all the free agent spending or the moves that were happening for this Jets offense this offseason.
Yeah, and Schefter broke the news, and he said it's for a conditional 2026 third-round pick. That could be a second. And then he did one of those things, Teak. You know when you make a mistake and you do a little asterisk?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if not, it's a 2026 third-round pick. So I don't know what the hell he meant by that, but he tweeted that above that. So I don't know what that means, but that's what we're dealing with. And yes, Reddick does not have a contract now with the Jets. If they have a new deal with the Jets and now entering the last year of his contract, if the Jets don't extend him and he leaves in free agency, the Jets would get a compensatory to pick back. So that's where we're at right now. And the Jets, their offseason started out slow. Joe Douglas was taking a nap. He didn't do anything. And it's fast and furious. As you know, Teague, the NFL is not baseball. The free agency is fast. It's furious. Right. A lot of guys get signed quickly. And the Jets basically did squat. Now all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, man, Joe Douglas, the Jets are having a damn good offseason. Aaron Rodgers has decided he doesn't want to be the vice president and he actually wants to be the quarterback. You've added wide receivers. receivers. You've added offensive linemen. Now you get a dog pass rusher here. And you look at this Jets team. Look, you're in a conference with Patrick Mahomes, so it's an uphill battle. But the Jets have to be all in here because Aaron Rodgers at any point can basically be like, you know what? I'm going to go back to Hanna Lee, and I'm going to get the hell out of here, and I'm not going to be a quarterback anymore.
Four more years?
Yeah, 4 more years, my ass. Who knows how long this guy's going to play for? So you have to build up this roster, and Joe Douglas knows that. And we talk about this with the Giants, with Shane and Dable. Look, the seat's got to be hot for Saleh and for Douglas. Mm-hmm. They got to win. If this doesn't work out here, I know Aaron Rodgers has pumped them up, but if this doesn't work out, they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
So they got to be in a win now type of situation.
I believe in Joe Douglas.
Yeah, as long as Aaron Rodgers is pumping them up, they're safe.
I believe in Robert Saleh.
But if Rodgers goes down again and it's Tyrod Taylor or heaven forbid Zach Wilson, you know, they're going to be out of here.
Yeah.
So they got to build up this roster. So again, there was this reported, which has now been sort of debunked, fight or argument between Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh at the owners' meetings here this week. But clearly something is up because they go out and they make this massive trade a couple of days after
now,
a fight.
Now, I don't know.
Allegedly.
Robert Saleh has not said anything regarding this alleged fight. I'm assuming that means he's just not going to comment on it. But obviously Woody Johnson denied it. But when you start looking at it, you were mentioning it, Luke, this offseason for the Jets has turned out to be really good.
Yes.
Now, some of these guys are kind of in a you-have-to-prove-it stage. Mike Williams, I'm not saying he's older, but he's getting a little bit older.
Injury-prone.
And he's been injury-prone. Yep. Missed a lot of time. Tyron Smith, same thing.
Same thing.
Not that he's ancient. He's not old by any stretch.
Football standards.
Standards. He's been hurt a lot.
Yep.
And so he's kind of in a prove-it year. John Simpson and Morgan Moses, I think they're more steady than those other guys. But Tyrod Taylor, should he have to play, it's the same thing. You got to be healthy. I like Tyrod Taylor. I think he's great for locker rooms, just like he was last year for the Giants. But you got to be healthy when called upon. But the biggest, you know, acquisition, and it's not even an acquisition because he was already on the team, is just Aaron Rodgers being healthy, right?
We didn't realize
that in real time because we knew it and we saw the hype in the offseason chronicled on Hard Knocks, but we got four plays and then he was down. And so it's kind of like you're getting him brand new all over again for the year. So a lot of moves that the Jets have made, and this is pre-draft. Who knows what they're going to do in a draft? And there's so many options. If they go tight end, they go kid Brock Bowers.
Which they're favored to do right now, betting odds-wise.
If they do that, it means that they feel like they're ready to win because he feels like a luxury. Right, if you're drafting high in the draft, top 10 ish, like the Jets are and the Giants, you got to draft for like longevity. Get a guy who's going to be here for a while, be a staple for us. If you draft a tight end at 10, which I don't know, in the last time a tight end's been drafted, I guess
it usually doesn't go well.
Right,
it's tough to take a tight end in the top 10 because unless they're like Kelce or Antonio Gates,
right. But you don't even know. But those guys are late. We're later.
I'm starting to think of guys like Eric Ebron. I think out of North Carolina might have been in the top 10. There's been guys, but it's always a stretch. But when you have Aaron Rodgers, you got to get guys around him because outside of Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, they don't have a lot of playmakers. Now they added Mike Williams, who's a playmaker, can get down the field, stretch the field, but he's been hurt a lot. If you could get Bowers, who's a beast, a tight end, Georgia, you could get guys around Aaron Rodgers, and it's a See, they're walking a tightrope here because it's about making Aaron happy, which you have to do. If they draft, you know, a defensive player, Aaron's going to be like, yo, I need more weapons. But Robert Saleh, on the other hand, Teague is like, I need defensive players. He's a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
And I think that's the balance that Douglas and Woody have to walk here. And maybe sometimes things get heated about the direction of the team. But bottom line is this. The Reddick trade for the Jets here, if you're just tuning in, amazing trade for them. They get a great pass rusher. And now, all of a sudden, the Jets are having a fantastic offseason. Their quarterback decided he wanted to play the quarterback and not be the vice president. And now they're adding all these guys around him. You still haven't even gotten to the draft yet.
Yes.
So things are looking really good for the Jets right now.
Yeah, they are. By the way, Kyle Pitts, that's who I was thinking of. He was the last tight end.
To Atlanta. Yeah.
He was the number four pick. But he's not really.
He's a wide receiver.
Exactly. He's not really a wide
receiver. Bowers is a tight end.
Bowers lines up at the edge of the line of scrimmage. He can do the other stuff as well, but his body physically looks like a tight end, whereas Kyle Pitts is more of a big wide receiver. So that's the latest news. The Jets surprising everybody because this one kind of came out of nowhere. Haason Reddick getting traded to the Jets for a conditional third rounder could convert to a second rounder with playing time and production if he gets 10 sacks or plus. But we just wrapped up this Mets game as well. If you've been following the show, and if you haven't, go rewind it on the Odyssey app or podcast it when we're all said and done. At Odyssey as well, or wherever you get your podcast. Evan went to opening day, and he went to opening day so that he could watch the Mets get one hit by the Milwaukee Brewers. That one hit happened to be a home run by Starling Marte, which I guess is a good sign.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
But they did nothing else in this game save for an eighth inning hard slide by Rhys Hoskins that caused him and Jeff McNeil to get into a shouting and, I don't know, what are they doing? You're thumbing your side of your mouth, whatever the heck that is. They were like mimicking it or mocking each other.
Yeah, like cry about it. But at the end of the day, boo-boo face.
I mean, what a weak and, I don't know, slow, sad day.
Well, it was embarrassing. I mean, listen, right. they got one hit. I got to see Jeff McNeil crying. And why is he hitting fourth? Jeff McNeil, who might go back to the golf course. All right. I'm sick and tired of watching Jeff McNeil sit around and pout. It was a hard slide. You didn't get hurt. I don't need to hear that. I don't need you in the cleanup spot.
His ankles did kind of get railed on, so.
They got one hit.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Exactly. Stop. And this lineup was supposed to be special. It was supposed to be special. They got one hit.
JD is still in the minors. He'll be up soon, taking some batting practice for a couple of days. He'll be there to fill that four hole. Don't worry about it. Jeff McNeil's not going to be there for long.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's opening day. And here's the thing, Teak, there isn't much. There's death taxes, right, that whole deal.
Right.
One thing is for certain. The Mets, they don't go to the playoffs a lot. They certainly don't win the World Series. But one thing that's been pretty commonplace is that they win on opening day. They win their home opener, whatever. Opening day, they win. They got one friggin' hit.
Mm.
And McNeil's out there screaming at Rhys Hoskins, that pig. So that's what we're dealing with here. Bad day. If you were at the game, we want to hear from you. Listen, I don't know what you're going to tell me about the Mets. We could talk about the food. We could talk about the experience. If you ran into Evan, who I assume is like in a bad mood right now because he's suspended, might even be fired. And if you're just tuning in right now, yes, Evan was in fact at the Met game. His streak is alive. Home openers. He kept the streak going. He started the show with Tiki, giving us sort of like, you know, hey, we're setting the scene from Citi Field here. Our boss, Spike Eskin, came storming into the room. They got into a shouting match. It got ugly. It got very, very personal. Evan called him a female paraphernalia head, and it just got out of hand. And then Spike gave him an ultimatum. Ev, if you're not back here by 4 o'clock, you are suspended. It is now 4:26. Evan didn't come back. He is now suspended. So if you missed it, guys, do we have the audio here of the fight back and forth between Spike and Evan? This was a couple hours ago. I know it's a new audience. Most of you are getting your car right now. You're finding out that Hassan Reddick has been traded to the Jets. The Mets got one dopey hit today, and Evan is now suspended. So there's a lot to digest. But here is, from a couple hours ago, the fight between Evan Roberts and our boss, Spike Eskin.
Evan, somebody just walked in and...
Evan, it's Spike.
Uh-oh.
Who? Since when are you not at work today?
It's opening day, bro. It's a holiday. I know you're new around here.
I'm new around here. Well, somebody who's...
Day. It's
Come
opening
on, man.
Day, bro. This is what I do.
No. I'm not kidding. This is what I do. I knew you weren't going to be here yesterday, but it wasn't a full show. Nobody said anything to me about you not being here today.
Bro, do you even work here? Like, seriously. Like, you still here, or did you go away to Philadelphia? They got a game in about a half hour. Why don't you pay attention to that?
Are you an adult, or are you a child?
Well,
are you an adult or are you a child? Because I know your family doesn't care if you're around at home, but everyone here cares whether you're at work.
Listen, dildo head, go to Philadelphia. I don't respect opinions anymore. So
can somebody bring me a pair of headphones at work?
How about that?
Right now. I'm not screwing around. Can somebody bring me a pair of headphones at work?
Yeah.
Spike is upset. Yeah. Spike is upset at you, Evan. He can't hear you.
Smart guy over there.
He can't hear you, but Evan, it doesn't sound like he's happy. I mean, I'm laughing.
I'm serious.
Here.
Can you bring him in here?
But it doesn't sound like he's happy.
What are we doing?
Right?
Nice play. Is he still talking?
No, he's waiting to get his headphones. He's mad at his headphones aren't working.
Ah, poor baby. Tell him to go to Philadelphia. Nobody cares what he has to say anymore. I will be there possibly later, maybe not. Depending,
you'll
on
be here today. I'm not kidding. If you want to be the lead host on an afternoon drive show on WFAN in New York City, you come to work. I know you wanted to go to a baseball game, but we're adults here. You get paid a lot of money. You have a lot of people relying on you, and it's one thing for you to come into work looking like a schlub every day with your clothes not washed and your hair not cut and your beard not cut, but it's a complete different thing when everybody's relying on you to host a radio show whose ratings are we're dependent, our livelihood is dependent on the success of this radio show, but you want to go to a baseball game.
Listen, I understand that you resent your daddy and you don't have a good relationship with him, I love my dad. This is what we've done for 30-plus years.
I'm glad you love your dad, but your children never see you. Your children never see you, so they'll probably be in the same... They'll probably be in the same situation. Just get at work. Be at work. Leave the game.
I'm not at work. What are you going to
do? Be here by 4 o'clock, or you won't be on the air next week. How about you? How about you're not on the air next week if you're not here by 4 o'clock?
We'll see.
I'm not kidding. No. I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. Get to work.
I'll see how the game goes. Let's see if the Mets can take a big lead. If not, I'll get there when I get there.
If you're not here by 4 o'clock, you won't be on the air next week.
Jose, good little change-up by Quintana. See, this is what fans do. I know you don't understand that talk show hosts can be fans, too. You have this idea of talk show hosts just giving big, stupid opinions and not giving a crap. I give a crap. Okay. Well,
you know what that makes you? I'm glad that you will have your membership card to the Mets fan club. I'm glad that you'll wear your T-shirt and your jersey. I'm glad that you'll keep all your tickets and your cute little scorecards. But we're doing work here. So you either work here or you don't, Evan. I'll see you before. Hang up the phone on him. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone, Connor. He's gone.
All right, well, spoiler alert, the Mets did not get a big lead. They only got one hit. Evan did not get back here by 4 o'clock. Tiki, of course, being the good partner, sided with Evan, and I sided with Spike because I think Evan has a responsibility when you are in front of the end. It was always and Evan, right? Joe and Evan, Carton and Roberts. Now it's Evan and Tiki. You are the lead dog. You are the point guard. This is afternoon drive. This is opening day. Met fans are in the car right now. They want to hear Evan Roberts' voice and not recorded having a pissing match with Spike Eskin. They want to hear his opinion on the Mets game. They don't want to download the dopey Rico Bronya podcast at 1 in the morning. They want to hear it now. You're not here. You're the big dog, and you want to go to some baseball game so you could sit there and watch, you know, write Brandon Nimmo popped up the third base on a piece of paper with a pencil.
Yeah.
So I think he's in the wrong. We've had a million callers on this, Teak. We got a new audience right now that is just going, what the hell's going on here? But I sided with Spike, and I'm not trying to, like, kiss ass to the boss. He's getting the hell out of here. I just think you got to be up front with your teammates. That's me and you. And he's got to tell upper management, yo, I'm not going to be there today because it's opening day. He didn't do that. Things got heated, yeah, and that's where we are.
And I get it from Evan's perspective. He does this, again, like he said, 30 years. He's been going to baseball with his dad, opening days as well. 13 straight he's been to, or 12, so whatever. Whatever the number is, he's been to straight. I mean, consecutively, including during the COVID year. He went down to Philadelphia after the home opener was canceled because of COVID here in New York. And so he kind of kept the streak alive. And now he just wanted to keep it alive. And it should have happened yesterday. It wasn't raining bad enough to actually cancel a baseball game. But because they had an off day in between today, or yesterday and Saturday, they just moved it because the weather was nice. It was breezy. It was probably cold as hell out there.
Sunny out, though.
Right. It was sunny, but it was breezy. And you sat there for 2.5, 3 hours almost, and watched the Mets get one hit. Peralta was unbelievable.
No, he was filthy, and the one hit. And look, Teak, they did the right thing because yesterday, was it raining all day? No, but can you imagine all these Met fans sitting there yesterday, a wet ass, watching the friggin' Mets get one hit and seeing Jeff McNeil act like a damn baby, screaming and yelling at everybody in the cleanup spot. So today was sunnier, it was nicer, but yeah, Evan chose fandom over his job, and the irony of this, he watched the Mets get one hit, they did nothing, they basically, you know, Marte had a home run, which is positive. You want to see Marte bounce back this year, and I think he will because he's a good player. He had all the migraines last year. So I think Marte bounces back. Good opening day for him. But I'm looking at the box score right now. I don't need a pencil and a piece of paper to write this down. 0-0-0-0-0. A lot of zeros for the Mets today. Mm-hmm. And opening day usually is a lock for them. Evan chose his fandom over his job. And now he is suspended. But I go on the Twitter here, X as you call it, Teak, although when I think of being on X, I think of something completely different. But I'm going to go on X here, our Twitter, as the kiddies call it. And Evan just tweeted this out a little while ago. This is from Evan Roberts.
Okay.
As pathetic an opening day since 2003 with Glavin. He's right about that.
I wonder if he regrets going now.
This is what I would say. If he gets fired, he'll regret it because he's going to have to tell his family when they get back from vacation.
He's not going
to
get fired.
By the way, honey, I went to a dopey baseball game instead of my job.
Right.
Evan has seen so much Met misery. He detailed it in My Mets Bible coming out April 2nd. You can pre-order now. Evan has been through the ringer here. He knows the deal. So he said, as pathetic an opening day since 2003 with Glavin, ... I'll get to the WFAN studio soon to react. Oh, hell no. No, you will not. No, you will not. You are suspended. You are suspended. I am the producer here. If you walk in here, if your dopey redheaded ass walks in here and starts doing the show, you know who's on the hook for that? Me. I'm the producer.
Loogie.
Then I got to talk to Sprite Eskin, and guess who's going to be suspended along with you? Me! And I don't make nearly as much money as you, so I can't afford no paycheck.
Just put him on the other side of the glass. He'll be all right.
Evan, you, Evan, it's like Wayne's World. Do I have to explain what breaking up is? You are suspended. The boss...
But he, does he know he's suspended?
The boss told him. We just played the audio. It's 4:34. It's way
but,
plus four.
But was he actually paying attention to that when Spike was saying... Because it sounded like neither one of them were listening to one another. They were just yelling at each other.
Correct. Like, it was like a sorority house.
Right. Tossing insults. Oh, you hate your daddy. You have daddy issues. Oh, your kids never see you type of thing.
Be here by 4 o'clock or you won't be on the air next week.
But he was talking as he was talking as he was saying it. So, and then he hung up on him. Spike hung up on him. So I don't know if Evan knows.
Well, he ordered Connor, and Connor did the right thing. He ordered Connor to hang up on Evan. Now, I'm sure Evan, sitting at that game, we're talking about it throughout the day. I'm sure somebody came up to him to take an awkward selfie. And by the way, Evan, if you're not, I don't know if you heard it, if you're not back by 4, you're suspended. And here's Evan basically driving in the car. Listen to us right now. Evan, you are suspended.
I think his car is here. I think his car is here. And I think he took the train.
Oh,
so he's
God.
Not going to be here until, I don't know, 5:30, maybe?
Right. Cinco to Five will coming up at 5. And then Evan, but again, he is suspended. So now he's putting me and you at risk here because now the boss, who's basically a tyrant right now.
I'm fine.
Well, I know
I'll be here regardless.
Right down the middle here, but I got to look out for myself here. And if I get in trouble for this, you are suspended. You're not back even next week. So the idea that Evan is on the 7 line back here, basically enjoying a hot dog as he's on the train right now trying to come back here, Evan, you are suspended. So we're going to get the little reaction. That is the gist of it all together here.
Yeah.
Jets trade for Hassan Reddick.
That's
the
right.
Mets get one hit.
By the way, the Jets, they made a major move.
Jeff McNeil is fighting. By the way, if you had that on your bingo card or pouting in game one, you would have won. And Evan is now suspended, although he is on a train back here right now to break down everything, and I'm sure to yell at Spike Moore, under his breath. All right, 877-337-6666. DC in Westport. What's up, DC?
What's going on? I don't even know where to start with this Hassan Reddick trade. The Eagles' ability to constantly mess with the Giants indirectly is like Steinbrenner with the Red Sox-esque. It's amazing. Everything they do has like a little bit of F with it. Like now we have, like, it's just fun. It's like, of course he went to the Jets.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of New York-Philly crossover this offseason. Obviously, Saquon was the big one.
Forever ago. Yep. To this, like every move, Saquon, now they're like, oh, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And now Spike. So, Spike, this might have been brewing for a little bit. I honestly didn't hear the beginning, and I'm glad you replayed it, because I love Evan's defiance right off the bat. I feel like Spike was just looking for a quick,
Well, Spike put him on the defensive. That was the problem. Like, he attacked him right away.
Evan was real quick with the, do you even work here? I was like, ooh, that was pretty good. But just a statement of fact, Evan Roberts was here before Spike, and he will be here after Spike.
DC, I thought you were going to say you better bring more than a pea shooter, because that's what it kind of sounded like. I've heard that one before on The Fan. Bottom line is this, Spike Eskin is still the boss. Mm. He's still upper management. Yes, he has bosses, but I'm sure he cleared this with the bosses. The suspension is valid. Evan is suspended.
Well,
he is coming here right now as a suspended talk show host to talk on the radio, which I think is a no-no.
Here's what we don't know.
Can you go f*** yourself?
Here's what we don't know. Did Evan clear it with the architect?
I have not spoken to the architect all
day. I don't even know if he's here today. Well, Spike said he was in with him.
I'm sure the architect is here on a Friday.
I know, but did Evan, because if Evan cleared it with the architect, and because the architect is in the process of trying to hire a new PD.
Yeah, it's a tricky spot.
Maybe he went over Spike. I'm trying to clear Evan here.
Yeah, but if you're...
I have Evan's back.
If you're
like
the
Spike
architect...
Spike is the PD, right?
Yes.
But we know Spike is, he's leaving. He's going to Philly. And who knows when that's going to be? A couple weeks, a month, who knows? Whatever. Evan, in his mind, is making deals or making interaction with the architect as opposed to the PD. So we might have a PD-architect fight coming up. As well.
Well,
this could get a little spicy.
Bottom line is here, there is internal chaos here at WFAN. We have a situation here where perhaps the boss above Spike cut a deal with Evan. They didn't even tell the current PD, which I think is a bad precedent because you have to side with the boss. That is the program director. Even though Evan is a big-time talent, he's the afternoon drive, he's the lead dog here. You can't be cutting deals. You got to smarten up Spike because Spike, who runs a little hot, got in here, was aggravated. And now if you're the architect, you have to side with the suspension. You can't set that precedent. You can't have the hosts here doing whatever the hell they want, even though they have for the last 30 years. You can't continue that. They can't just do everything. So I think if you're the architect in this spot, you have, even though Spike is leaving, because there will be a new program director. And if you're that new program director and you're like, oh boy, you know, the upper management is, you know, siding with the talent over the current program director, that sets a bad precedent. And you have this internal struggle here. And it's all because Evan wants to write baseball players' names down on a piece of paper in pencil. That's it.
I'm a baby.
Or there's 81 home games. Go to another game. You could spend $20 to see Jeff McNeil scream and yell a week from now, and we'd all have our jobs. No one would be suspended.
Right.
You put, and by the way, Teak, and this is the other thing, and Fatso's not here today either, Marash, because he's at a wedding, and he has no idea what's going on right now as he chokes down, you know, shrimp cocktail at the cocktail hour. He puts the show in danger. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
he's our point guard. Yeah, now we're without our point guard suspended because he was selfish.
Hold on. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be good because Tiki and Friends sounds really good. To change the signage for a couple weeks.
Yes.
But Tiki and Friends sounds really good. It will be, and I'll give you a chance. You have a chance to sit in the seat.
And that's the thing.
And give Sean a chance to sit in the seat.
And we appreciate that. And that's why, in theory, I should be on the side of Evan here because it gives an opportunity to me and Sean. But, I mean, I got to call it like I see it. I got to call it fair. And you got to tell your boss what the deal is. You got to tell your teammates what the deal is. And I'm all for next week, you know, Tiki doing a show with Jeremy Shockey and they can talk about his huge hose for the last 3 hours. That's radio that I like. But Lukey! Exactly. I'd love to talk about that or Tito Wooten or whatever. But the bottom line is he needed to be here. Yeah. He wasn't here. But he was given an ultimatum and he basically thumbed his nose at our boss that he called a... you know, I don't even know if I can say it on the radio, but a female paraphernalia head is what he called.
By the way, he just texted us, Evan. He said he is 15 minutes away.
15 minutes away. All right. So, you know, he's something special. 15 minutes from now is Cinco de Finvo. So this guy's going to walk in here and take away from Connor Greenshine, who's doing a great job. Producer here, does some shows. So now he's going to take a little bit of... And Evan went in yesterday and took away a little bit of Marash's airtime.
So Tommy's stealing Evan's job and Evan's stealing my job.
Correct. And Marash stole all our jobs when he got a job here. So really, everybody's just stealing everybody's job here. Everybody's fighting for a piece of the pie. It's competitive.
Yeah,
the Mets got one hit and they suck.
And I'm Switzerland.
Tiki Switzerland. Tiki can be here forever. 877-337-6666. Mike is in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Thank you for taking my call. This has been the oddest day of listening. I go back to ONA. I listen to my share of Stern. But not all cringe radio is good radio. The only guy that Evan really owed an explanation, and Tiki said that he assumed that he was just doing it today. It's his partner.
Right.
So... And with respect to my fellow listeners, you know, you guys aren't CPAs. You're not pipe fitters or foremen of pipe fitters. There's a lot of boss thinking around. Let the guy enjoy it.
No, but Mike, we have
this all day double over.
Hold on, Mike. We have a responsibility to the tri-state area, to the audience, to everybody. Yeah, we're not digging a ditch, but we're providing entertainment. We are your pal. You turn
exactly.
the radio on every day.
The show is not that fragile, Lugie.
No.
And Lugie, we don't need to hear Spike's point of view. Like it's shocking that I haven't heard him in any with any extended time, but he comes off as incredibly unlikable. Maybe that's just a shtick that he's developing for the Philly fans.
Well, I think he was just pissed off. He's the boss.
He's going for even less likable Vince McMahon.
Right now. Mike, the boss is ticked off because his afternoon drive show, day after the Yankee home opener, day of the Met home opener, he turns on the radio. And by the way, Evan was here earlier walking around the hall, so maybe Spike saw him and figured, all right, business
as
usual.
Good. Yeah, he thought we're good.
Evan gets here at 9 a.m. every day to talk to everybody in the newsroom about the show. So he probably figured, all right, Evan's good. We're all good to go. Can't wait to hear. Can't wait them to talk about, you know, Juan Soto and the Yankees, break it down. He turns on the radio, and it's Evan at Shake Shack at Citi Field talking about the Mets and giving you a little bit of a scene setter. So he came down here. He was pissed off. He was ticked off. Talked about this a little earlier. I'll reset it. When you're a program director, I think sometimes you think, well, can I really tell the talent, the big-time talent, what to do? So there might be a little insecurity. There might be some pent-up aggression. And it all played out on the air. And guess what? Yeah, you're right. We're not working in a steel mill. We're working on the radio. So sometimes things play out on the air. It's live. It's guttural. It's raw. It's real. It's not always like what we want because we like to keep some stuff in-house, especially stuff like this, but it bled out. And it would have all been for naught if Evan had just, in our weekly meeting with Spike or in an email or through me, I'm a stooge for Evan and management. I'm literally the go-between. You could have just been like, Luke, I'm not going to be there. Tell Spike.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right. And we'll hear from Evan very shortly.
About 10 minutes or so, he's going to waltz in.
He said he was on his way. I guess he didn't take the train. And so, but I also don't know how he drove and got back here this quickly.
Maybe he rode his bike.
It's confusing to me.
Maybe, wrap your legs around me, and I'll give you a ride.
I have no idea. But he said he was going to be here in 15 minutes. That was about 8 minutes ago. So he's going to be here shortly.
Yep.
And then we'll get his side of this.
Yep. Tommy Lugauer here, Lugie with Tiki Barber. The Jets have traded for Hassan Reddick. The Mets got one hit. There was a little kerfuffle between Rhys Hoskins and Jeff McNeil. Mm. Freddie Peralta pitched a gem. Evan is suspended. He got into a big fight with our boss, Spike Eskin, but he is on his way here and apparently is going to come on the show within the next 10 minutes or so. We got Cinco de Fivo coming up at 5 o'clock, Yankee baseball later. The Yankees are on Apple TV tonight, so keep it locked here on The Fan. Sal is in Uniondale. What's up, Sal?
What's going on? I'll take myself off speaker.
Yeah, thank you.
What's up?
Okay. All right, Lugar, we got to call you out here. All right?
What's up?
You say this huge kerfuffle. I know what's going on. Your eyes are closing. There's these dollar signs. All you can see in your mind is Tiki and Lugie in the afternoon drive. That's all you can see. You're sitting in that chair. You're looking at it. You're gonna, like, you're looking where you're going to put your picture frames of your family. That's what you're doing right now, okay? And if you really want to know who to blame here, I blame Chernoff.
Chernoff, he's not even the boss anymore.
He hasn't been here for months or years.
Spike, he probably told Spike, listen, just keep Boomer happy. Everybody else will work themselves out. And the smartest person right there in the studio right now is Tiki. That guy has run the circuit throughout the nation. This guy, he said he's Switzerland. He's a murderer because he knows no matter, even if everybody falls off the face of the planet, it's going to be him and someone else tomorrow. So he's playing it right. Okay, Lugie, we're watching you.
Sal, you're smart. Watching. You're very attuned.
There you go. We're watching you, Lugie.
No, but Sal, here's the thing. Marash benefits from Evan being suspended or fired. So to your point, if I had a vested interest, I would be on the side of that, right? But I'm not. I'm on the side of he should have said something to management, right? So if he has this, like, I'm getting more airtime because of this. So I should be on that side, but I'm not. He just did the wrong thing. He left his teammates hanging on a big day, big sports weekend, and he didn't tell the management what he was doing.
But Spike also came at him hard. Like, he came at him. I mean, he interrupted the show.
He's the boss. He can do whatever he wants.
We had Evan on at the beginning of the show. He was in Citi Field, wherever he's sitting. He had a scorebook, I'm sure, in his lap sitting next to his pop. And then all of a sudden, Spike comes in here and elevates that conversation very quickly.
Yes.
Look, Evan does home openers, or not even home openers. He does season openers. He loves opening day. It's the thing he loves.
If not season opener, home opener.
Definitely one or the other. Right. And it happened to be both this year.
Yep.
So, and he was able to go, or he would have been able to go yesterday, and it would have been easy, but it got rained out, so he goes today. I get it. I was completely prepared to do the show by myself. Like, I've done that before. Done it on National Network. I've done it on WFAN when BT was taken off. So I was fine. And I kind of assumed he was taken off anyways because he had alluded to it. He didn't tell us, but he had alluded to it that he might take off today or might just not show up or whatever it may be. I was fine with it.
But we didn't know. It was ambiguous. Will he show up? Will he not show up? I just think he has a responsibility to us, the show, to the station. His name is top on the marquee. It's Evan and it's not and Evan anymore. He needs to be here. He needs to represent the fan, the station, and our team. And he kind of left us all where we don't know what the hell's going on. And we're sitting here yelling at the boss. The boss is yelling at us because we don't have our lead afternoon drive guy on a big day. So I still think that's on Evan. I still side with management.
I thought Spike was joking.
No.
I thought he was joking for the first minute.
No, I knew it because I've gotten reamed out before from Spike. Sometimes joking, sometimes not. So I know when it's real, when it's not. That was as real as it get. It got personal. There was daddy issues thrown out there. There was sports fandom. I think he accused Spike of making up takes. It just got very, 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 very ugly. I think it was
you resent your daddy.
Exactly. There was pent up aggression, and it all unfolded live on the radio. And within the next couple of minutes, apparently, this is according to Evan on Twitter, he will be walking in this building. Apparently, he texted Tiki as well that he will be walking in any minute. Anthony's in Long Island. What's up, Ant?
Lugie.
What?
How quick you throw him under the bus, man.
What do you mean?
Let me take your speaker.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Lugie, we're all here waiting.
Lugie.
What?
You are throwing Evan under the bus.
How?
For your own good.
No, I'm not.
For your own good.
Why? If he's suspended, I get more airtime.
You're pushing the suspension. You keep talking about the suspension. You want him to get suspended so you could shine.
I haven't mentioned suspension in the last 30 seconds. Evan's suspended for a week. I have not mentioned suspension. He's suspended for a week. So I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no vested interest if he's suspended, by the way. He's suspended for the next week.
You do.
I do or no?
You didn't have any vested interest.
Yeah, but Anthony Spike was the one that said it, though.
No, but Lugie keeps talking about it. Lugie keeps bringing it up.
Well, what do you want me to talk about? The weather? The lead hair? Afternoon Drive host is not here.
Great Giant.
What?
Oh, he said the Great Giant. He's talking to me.
Oh, he's kissing your ass now. What the hell am I supposed to talk about? The lead afternoon. So this is what I love. You're talking about the suspension all day. We are sitting here doing a radio show. Our boss and Evan got into it on the air. He gave him an ultimatum. Not everybody's listening every second. If you're just getting in the car right now and you're basically sitting there, why did I drop $300 to go to Citi Field to watch the Mets get one hit? And you're figuring out, where the hell is Evan? He must be at opening day. But then you're hearing this. I'm just educating you. Evan is suspended for a week. But apparently he's coming his way now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you want to get Spike involved here. If you want to call him, just let him know. Just make sure you say, Lugie said to call.
I am interested to see what Evan's state of mind is. Because he's clearly going to be upset because of the game.
Not because he's suspended!
He's going to be more upset about the game, I think.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know if he knows he's suspended because he was talking when Spike said it, and then he cut him off.
I'm stunned.
It's not like he was listening to us,
right? But he was
watching the game. He's scoring the game.
An agent, you know, which is basically Joey Tribbiani's agent and friends. So I mean, like, that was what I picture it. So why wouldn't somebody kind of give him the Iggy, smarten him up? Yeah. I don't know. All right, Joe's in Saratoga. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? You guys are great.
Nice.
I just wanted to say, you know, regardless of who's right or wrong here, Spike is way out of line. You know, you come out, first of all, you have a problem with me, you say it privately, not publicly, and then the first thing out of his mouth is that his family doesn't want him around. That's a recipe for getting your ass kicked in my neighborhood.
Mm. Well, did he say that, or did he say that basically
he's
Evan doesn't want him around his family?
Yeah, I think he was saying the other way around, Joe. I think he said he goes to Evan's games.
Family doesn't want him around, so they don't care that he's at the game.
No, I know your family doesn't care if you're around at home.
There you go. Good call, Joe.
Yeah. But he's not, he's just saying.
A little more respect to be nice.
But Joe, Evan went after his family. Look, I'm trying to be fair here.
You resent your daddy?
I'm trying to be fair here, and I don't want to feel like, you know, because look, I got an obligation to the show, I got an obligation to Evan, and I got an obligation to the station. So, and we talk about this all the time, fandom versus your job, right? We marry both. That's the unique part of this job. But the thing is with fandom, you love the Mets, you love all the that, but guess what? If they don't make the playoffs this year, the Mets are not sending me a check. They're not. They're not giving me money. You know who sends me a check every 2 weeks? This place.
Yes.
So at some point, you have to put your job over your whimsical fandom, especially when you're given that ultimatum. He spit in Spike's face, both verbally. Now he's really going to walk all over his grave here because he's coming back here to basically, you know, say, you know what?
Right.
Screw you. I'm not suspended.
I made it, bitches!
And here he is. We got a lot to get into
here.
You made it.
Evan Roberts is here.
I'm here. I'm out of breath.
How did you get back?
I may have a heart attack, but I'm here.
Did you run back?
Yeah, right. I took trains and automobiles and, you know, all that crap.
You do realize that.
But I am what? Do I realize what?
You realize that Spike Eskin has suspended you.
Right? F him. First of all, dildo head's got no say anymore. All right? This guy don't even work here anymore, and I don't want to waste my time on him. Do we really want to waste our time on him?
I mean, we've been talking about it since 2 o'clock.
Let me ask you that. That's fine. Does the guy in the car who just got in their freaking car dealing with traffic out of Citi Field, do they want to hear about a crap boss? They already have a crap boss. They already have one.
I knew he'd be more upset
about
the Mets.
Because what they did, everybody in the car knows what I'm talking about. You left work, right? You skipped out on work.
Yeah, you did too. Cost you to be suspended.
That's fine. Maybe I did it. Maybe you did it. Everybody did it. And guess what we did it for, ladies and gentlemen? Guess what we did it for?
What'd you do it for?
Crap!
One hit!
I mean, that was... I have been Tiki Lugie. Screw you. I think you're dead to me too now. Didn't he turn on me, Tiki?
Yeah, No.
He did kind of turn on
me. I was honest about the situation. I did not turn on you. I just gave an honest thought.
I had your back, and now callers are getting your back, and I know why. Because they're in the car.
Yeah.
And they're Met fans.
Yes.
It was all Yankee fans before.
While I was having my discussion with the former boss, I had a guy behind me who had no idea what was going on, just screaming, go get him, Ev! And I'm like, thank you. This guy don't even know what I'm talking about. But here's the point. I have been to every freaking opening day for 30 years, and there are very few that stick out at you as amazing or pathetic. Tommy Glavine taking a dump, basically, on the mound back in 2003 in freezing cold weather sticks out at me. In fact, it's in my book, My Mets Bible.
Yes.
This crap we saw today, a one-hitter?
You're going to have to do an addendum?
Yes. I may have to. A one-hitter? And I get it. Freddie Peralta is very tough. Yes. He's a very tough customer. But to let the Brewer bullpen just mow right through him like it was. And great, Jeff McNeil showed some fight. You know when they needed to show fight? When they were batting. And by the way, if you're pissed at Rhys Hoskins, who's a dirty little bastard, we all know that, then how about this, Jeff? I got a great idea. Punch him. Like, seriously, he's right there. He's right there.
And he almost did.
You could have stepped on him, too, by the way.
He almost did.
He could have curb stomped him, as Seth Rollins would do. So I'm glad they showed a little bit of fight, but let that not distract from the garbage we all sat through for 2.5 hours, freezing our asses off, optimism abound to watch that garbage. So this isn't about me skipping out on work. This is about all of us skipping out on work. And ask yourself a question. Was it worth it? Because look what we witnessed.
Yes.
High prices, a lot of traffic or train traffic like I had to deal with.
Right.
Cold weather and an ass whooping.
I'm going to say it was worth it. You know why?
Why?
Because it was opening day.
Ugh.
And it started the baseball season. It was worth it, even if the result was not what you wanted to see.
Well, I'm holding my Mets Bible here, Evan. I'm just waiting for the chapter where you write, the Mets got one hit on the same day I got fired. That's going to be a fun chapter. Add it to the end of the book. There's still time.
I may have to.
By the way, Evan, I'm glad you came back here because, really, all jokes aside here, the sitting here watching the game, you don't have a feel for what it's like being there. It's on mute. We don't know. We just keep looking over. I had to keep telling the guys, do they still have one hit? Do they still have one hit? Marte homered. I was excited about that. McNeil crying like a baby. Forget about him. Get rid of his ass, by the way. Go play golf. What was it like being there? Like, what was the atmosphere, the environment? Because it is a home opener, nice day, but you get one hit. It must have been like being at a morgue.
It started very optimistically. You know the way opening day is. Mm-hmm. We're all cheering. We're all clapping. We're all freezing our asses off. We're all confused because I got some issues with what they did to Citi Field, but that's a story for another day.
What do you mean confused? Logistically? Like how you get in?
Yeah,
like,
they changed entrances. I was very confused.
Wow.
I got so confused when I gave my ticket to the ticket taker. I gave them Sunday's game and they wouldn't let me in. So I got off to a bad start. I'm like, no, this is my ticket. Right. I started getting angry.
Maybe that explains why you flew off the handle on Spike as soon as he said,
well,
where are you
screw
at?
Screw him. Then I finally realized, or I think the ticket taker realized, they're like, excuse me, hon, because she was a nice lady, even though I was mad at her. This is for Sunday's game. So I was very apologetic, but it started very nicely, okay? You're at opening day. It's optimism, man. Mm-hmm. We're all feeling good. We're giving everybody a big hand. Edwin Diaz got a gigantic ovation. Everybody's cheered. Everybody's happy. Everybody's emotional. It's a great, wonderful day. And then Starling, you mentioned Lugie, hits that line drive home run. We're all stunned. We have no idea that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Starling Marte coming through with a home run.
He's back.
Your boy, you drafted him. It's your fault. Jose Quintana gets very lucky in the first inning because Rhys Hoskins runs like basically Spike Eskin into a nice, easy double play.
Right.
And as the bats died and as the Brewers tied the game and took the lead, that's when the funeral took over Citi Field. That's when Brett Beatty started to get booed. That's when Harrison Bader
Beatty
started.
Got booed?
Yeah, he got booed.
On the strikeout looking?
I forget which one. I don't have my scorecard in front of me, Teague, because I rushed in here. In fact, where the hell is it? Oh, it's right there. He got basically, we started getting angry. We saw, and maybe people were just
it's
angry
opening
that
day, Evan.
Well, it's one thing to lose on opening day, which is something we're not familiar with because the Mets always win on opening day.
Yes.
It's another thing to have this kind of just embarrassing performance. Like, do you understand how embarrassing this game was?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we watched it.
Okay, you saw it. I was living in it, I was breathing in it, and it was pathetic. Now, is the season over? I'm not saying the season's over, bro.
But it's hanging by a thread.
It's hanging by a thread. No, it just, today sucked. Like, that's, if I'm going to make things simple for everybody, today sucked. When you're driving home today, it sucked. When you tell your wife and kids how the day went, it sucked. When you tell whoever, hey, how was, it sucked. It doesn't mean they're going to lose Saturday and Sunday and Monday.
But it's one of 162. There's time. There is time.
There is time, but understand something. See, for the Yankee fans out there, what you did yesterday was tremendous, right?
Of course.
And I would fight with anybody who tries to downplay
it. Yeah, we talked about that for about 6 minutes.
And, like, no one should tell you it's just one game because it's opening day.
Of course it is.
It's symbolic.
Against the Astros.
Against your rival.
Right. It was worth it.
Obviously, it only counts as one, but it sticks with you. Like, put it this way. Everybody in the car right now or in the train knows what I'm talking about. The prices for this ticket today, very expensive. Mm. Not the same prices as Saturday. Not the same prices as Monday night. Yep. So when you spend more money and you call out sick or you don't even tell your boss you're not coming to work and then he freaks out like a two-year-old, it sucks even more.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go Saturday. If they lose Saturday, yeah, it'll stink. I don't want to be 0-2. Losing on opening day stings. Getting one hit on opening day absolutely stings.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, what you need to do is calm yourself. Maybe comb your beard a little bit.
Comb my beard?
You look like crap.
I just sat through hell. I mean,
get your hair a little bit more.
I'm a baby.
In shape.
Yes.
Get your scorecard settled.
Like, yes.
Do all the things that make you presentable to me.
Okay.
Because radio listeners don't care because they're listening in their cars. And come back and talk to us because it's 5 o'clock and we have a Cinco de Five.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
and
good.
You tried to stop on Connor's moment.
By the way, I want you to have it a little bit later on. I'm going to have a Cinco de Evo, the five things that sucked more than today's Met game. I've got five things, but I'll do that later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.